This podcast is intended for an audience that is blind or print impaired. This is a review of the movie Thor Ragnarok, written by James Berardinelli of Real Views. The runtime on the movie is 2 hours and 13 minutes. The rating is PG-13. For cartoon violence and profanity. The genre is action-adventure. It's directed by Taika Waititi. And the cast includes Chris Hemsworth, Tom Hiddleston, Kate Blanchett, Mark Ruffalo, Tessa Thompson, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, Carl Urban, and Anthony Hopkins. The quick blurb says, boasts a lighter tone but regurgitates the basic story of every other superhero team-up. It appears that Marvel has given up trying to broaden the tent. Although Thor Ragnarok, the third film to focus on the exploits of the titular Norse god, boasts a lighter tone. When the flippancy is stripped away, it's the same old, same old. Narratively, Thor Ragnarok regurgitates the basic story of every other superhero team-up. The surprises are reserved for cameos, and the ending is so predictable that it likely wouldn't be considered a spoiler to reveal it. Don't worry, I won't. This movie indicates how lifeless comic book movies can become when they don't take chances and don't challenge the status quo. It's no coincidence that the best superhero movies of the last decade, The Dark Knight, Deadpool, Logan, have vision and ambition. Everything else falls into a continuum of bland, action-oriented entertainment with diminishing results. What was fun at the start of the Marvel comic universe has become tired. To an extent, that's the inevitable fate of all long-running franchises, and although Thor Ragnarok tries to change things up by shifting to a more openly jokey tone, it serves to remind us that, before the Universal comic monsters died, they first met up with Abbott and Costello. Since standalone superhero movies are now rarer than Bigfoot sightings, Thor Ragnarok feels the need to give the God of Thunder, played by Chris Hemsworth, a few pals to help him on his merry way. This time, the buddy movie formula pairs the newly short-haired Thor with the not-so-jolly Green Giant, Mr. Hulk, played by Mark Ruffalo via motion capture. Two other Marvel Comic Universe characters appear, although only ever so briefly. Benedict Cumberbatch has a superfluous scene or two to remind us that Doctor Strange is still around. Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow makes a blink-and-you'll-miss-it appearance. That's better than Natalie Portman's Jane. She's not even mentioned. That's what happens when an actress defects from the Marvel comic universe. Before the movie is over, Thor is already making goo-goo eyes at another woman. This one, at least, is Asgardian, and so there is no risk of DNA incompatibility. The movie begins with Thor finding out that Loki, played by Tom Middleston, in fact didn't die. Of course he didn't. This is the Marvel comic universe where death is only a temporary inconvenience. Not that the DCEU is any different. That is to say, the DC Enterprise universe. After taking Odin, played by Anthony Hopkins, to a retirement home in New York, Loki has been impersonating him and enjoying the fruits of ruling. Cue Mel Brooks. It's good to be the king. The reunited brothers go to Earth to retrieve Dad, and, with a little help from Doctor Strange, they locate him. The doddering old god, who's about as coherent as Patrick Stewart's Professor X in Logan, informs Thor and Loki that they have a sister, and she's about to be released from prison. Then, faster than you can say Kate Blanchett, Hela, the goddess of death, is back to break Thor's hammer, send the brothers spinning off to distant worlds, and bring Ragnarok to Asgard. Stuck on a junk world, Thor is captured by an ex-Valkyrie-turned-mercenary, played by Tessa Thompson, who sells him to the Grand Master, played by Jeff Goldblum, a pompous ass who likes melting people with his special staff. He runs a gladiator contest and has decided that Thor will make an excellent challenger for the champion. As luck would have it, Thor knows the champion. Unfortunately, the champion isn't in a nostalgic mood. Instead, he's just interested in one thing, Hulk smash. Thor has his work cut out for him, avoiding getting pulverized by his fellow Avenger, find a way off this planet, and convince the Valkyrie to return to Asgard with him to stop Ragnarok. Oh, and Loki's still around making mischief and changing sides. As a rule, Marvel movies have lighter tones than their current DC counterparts. Even the darkest Marvel movie hasn't come close to the bleak wallowing of Jack Snyder's recent contributions. For Thor Ragnarok, director Taika Waititi, famous for Hunt for the Wilder People, enhances the comic aspects, bringing this closer to Deadpool than any previous serious major superhero movie has come. The change of pace is welcome, and even more appreciated is that some of the comedy is genuinely amusing. Certain characters, like Jeff Goldblum's Grand Master, exist primarily for their ability to generate chuckles and laughs. Even the normally stoic God of Thunder gets into the mood. Chris Hemsworth has already shown a deft hand for comedy. Unfortunately, no superhero movie can succeed on comedy alone, and when it comes to the action sequences, the bread and butter of any comic book film, Thor Ragnarok disappoints. From a technical standpoint, they're fine, and one or two of them, especially the opening battle and the gladiatorial bout pitting Thor against Hulk, arrest the attention, but for the most part, they're predictable opportunities for the special effects experts to flex their muscles. It's action by the numbers, and it's rarely exciting. The participants are no longer individuals, they're avatars. It's not far from the robot carnage in the Transformers movies. Superhero fans deserve better than this. Battles should have heart, danger, and consequences. The conflicts in Thor Ragnarok are lacking in all three. Perhaps the most enjoyable aspect of the film is the buddy element, starring the odd couple of Thor and Hulk slash Bruce. Eventually, Mark Ruffalo gets to appear as himself. Throw Tessa Thompson into the mix, and we have the making of a nice trio. At one point, they dub themselves the Revengers. The chemistry within this group is strong. Loki has been reduced. For a guy who was the big baddie in the Avengers, he's now little more than a side character whose powers are limited and whose ultimate function is to trigger the obligatory deus ex machina that resolves everything. Kate Blanchett is suitably nasty and surprisingly restrained. No scenery chewing for her. Thor Ragnarok has no shortage of top acting talent. In addition to Blanchett and Ruffalo, there are small parts for Benedict Cumberbatch, Anthony Hopkins, and Idris Elba. Those waiting for linkage to the next Avengers movie don't get it until the mid-credits scene, which one assumes is intended to start the Infinity War cycle. Thor Ragnarok is more of a placeholder than an integral part of the Marvel Comics universe. It keeps people primed for the climax of the story that has been building for arguably too long. As a standalone movie, this is pretty much like every other recent Marvel Comics universe entry. Fitfully entertaining, too long, and mostly forgettable. comic book fans, especially those who live and die with Marvel and have moved the letters D and C out of their alphabet, will probably adore what Thor Ragnarok has to offer. Others may see this as a passable diversion while uttering things like, meh, on the way out. Now, James Berardinelli gives this 3 out of a possible 4 stars. Once again, it's directed by Taika Waititi, stars Chris Hemsworth, Tom Middleston, Kate Blanchett, Mark Ruffalo, Tessa Thompson, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, Carl Urban, and Anthony Hopkins. Runtime is 2 hours and 13 minutes. It's rated PG-13 for cartoon violence and profanity. And this is an action-adventure movie.